kill the buttons.
Welcome, button pushers, to another King of the Buttons. This last offering for 08 is the usual mix of lunacy, new music, and philosophical insight. As we travel at super speed through our new media dream, can we really be sending 60 billion texts a year? Is it right that only 5% of us know the first names of our neighbours? To salve these concerns and more, we forward a beautifully crafted quiz, poetic emotions from our chums at Craft Hour, and some copycat clonery, as well as a juicy new single from Jeffrey Ponson and The Cleft. King of the Buttons, a dirty great sixpence in a digital hyperpudding.
Hello.
I'm interested in your new cloning service.
Really? That's interesting. I thought you were in here yesterday.
No, I'm quite sure that I wasn't.
Oh, that must have been number two.
Number two?
Yeah, we keep a backup of all our clients, you know, just in case.
Just in case? No, hold on. I'm not a client yet. I was just...
Well, he did say you might be like this.
Who?
Number two.
Now look, are you telling me you've cloned me and there's a carbon copy of me roaming in the streets?
Well... I'm not clear, actually, if it's you telling me that, or number two to pretending to be you, because... Or is it... Hang on. If... I suppose...
Suppose what?
Well, it could be number three playing a trick on you both.
What?
Well, it's just a simple gesture. Calm down.
No, look. Will you answer me question? Is there another me?
No. Well, yes.
But that's crazy. He could be out there doing anything.
Who could?
Number two.
So, you have met him?
No. I'm not putting up with this. I want to speak to the manager.
Well, I'm busy.
You're the manager?
No, number six is the manager. I'm number five, and I do Wednesdays.
Wednesdays?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. It's Friday, but we swapped this week because he's getting married to my fiancée today in Ilford.
Now, hold on a minute.
Look, it's quite simple, sir. Think of it as security, a little safety net for when you get old. It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Embarrassed? I'm outraged. What about my human rights? My self-belief? It throws it all into question.
Well, at least you have lots of like-minded folk to debate it with. Now, look, here comes...
Who?
I think it's number two. Look, he's coming in.
What? Hello.
Hello.
I'm interested in your new cloning service.
That is interesting. He's very good, you know. Very good likeness. Let's call it 12 grand. You could split it 6 grand each between the one of you.
12,000... Hold on, what am I doing here?
Hello.
What are you doing here?
Are you interested in our cloning service?
Am I before you in the
queue? I'm serving this gentleman first.
How many of me are there?
And so am I.
I'd like to go first, please.
So will I.
I'm number three.
It is Wednesday today, sir.
Where's your fiancée?
It could be number three playing a trick on you both.
Right. You ready for this quiz, then?
Absolutely.
It's a proper quiz and everything.
Oh, right.
It's called Dave Dove's Famous Quotes Quiz.
Right.
Or the alternative title, if you put Dave Dove's Famous Quotes Quiz into Japanese, then back into English.
Yes.
The upgraded title of the quiz is It Asks the Famous Quotation of the Pigeon of David.
Excellent. The Pigeon of David.
Yeah.
You've upranked yourself in the bird chain again.
Indeed. It asks the famous quotation of the Pigeon of David. Welcome.
Welcome.
Now, as you know, James, this is a quiz, which I've invented brilliantly, where you're going to have to pretend to be two people at the same time.
Okay.
Okay, because the quiz is actually for two contestants. We've only got one.
Okay.
And that's
do you want me to do different voices or something?
Would that help? Yeah.
Okay.
Could you do one in the style of a drunken Yorkshireman... with a cleft palate, and another in the style of an amoeba.
Actually, I think what I'd like to do is I'll do one in my usual polished, fine radio voice.
That effeminate one that you normally use.
Yeah, and I think I'll do the other one of I'll do Arthur Mullard, but doing Shakespeare. Because I don't know if you know, he had quite a big Shakespearean.
Did he?
Yeah.
Playing what?
He played
scenery.
I think he played Egg in Macbeth.
Right. I don't know anything about that.
Anyway, carry on with your top quality
okay.
quiz.
Right. Dave Dove's Famous Quotes Quiz, or It Asks the Famous Quotation of the Pigeon of David.
I don't know which one I prefer.
It doesn't matter. On
I
with the quiz.
Both are good for the international market, I reckon.
Indeed. This is going to go down a storm in Belgium. Right. I'll give you an example to start on what the quiz is about, because
right.
you don't know anything yet.
I'm completely in the dark.
At this point, we just don't know. We just don't know what's happening.
I'm so surprised.
Okay, right. Here's an example. The purpose of the quiz is I'm going to read out a famous quote... and you've got to guess who said it.
Okay,
that's the purpose of the quiz. There are three categories. We'll come to those in a minute, but we've just got a little example to start with.
Okay, brilliant.
Okay.
So the example, I'll give you the answer first, just so you know what the hell I'm talking about.
Okay, right.
Okay, so
it's not going to work like this when it's the real quiz.
No, the quiz isn't going to work like that. We're going to do it the other way around. We're going to start with a question. It is traditional, but
I'm just going to write that down a minute.
I think that you can't write. I think that technique works best with quizzes. Right. Stop interrupting. Here we go. Example to start. Famous quote from Oscar Wilde: "A cynic is a man who knows the price of everything but the value of nothing." Okay, everyone's heard that.
Very true as well.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, well, if you take that and then you put it into Dutch, and then into German, then back into English,
yes,
you get something like: "None is, however, people who know the price all, the value nothing."
I like that.
It's quite good, isn't it?
It could be. It could almost be a quote from Stanley Unwin, couldn't it?
Have you noticed that it loses very little of its meaning?
It's still quite poignant and yet romantically testing.
"None is, however, people who know the price all, the value nothing." I almost prefer it.
There's beauty in that truth.
So, let's start with a quiz straight away, proper. This is the first round proper now.
Do I get a buzzer?
As Henry Kelly. You do get a buzzer. Do you want to test your buzzer?
Let me just test the buzzer. I press this button.
Yeah. It's a bit slow.
Right, it's brilliant.
Do it again.
There's a bit of a delay on it. I don't know what's going on.
I think the delay's in your brain.
Okay, right.
Now, whose buzzer is that?
That's my buzzer.
That's your buzzer?
Yeah. It's supposed to be Arthur Mullard as well. He'll have to have a different one.
This could take a while.
It could take a while. He'll have this one.
That's quite suitable.
Do you see what I've done there? A couple of noises there for you.
Okay. Buzzer isn't strictly necessary, to be honest, but it's quite fun anyway.
Yeah,
okay. Right then. You get to choose the first category. The three categories for tonight's quiz are: number one, that's the first category, history and literature.
Right.
Okay. Category two, which is the second category, pop music. Category three is sport.
Right.
So Arthur Mullard can go next. You, playing as you, can you choose a category, please, from history and lit, pop music or sport?
I think the only one I know is number one.
History and lit.
Yeah.
Hist and lit.
I'm not good at pop music, as you know, isn't a specialty of mine.
Okay, that's true. Right then, we've got two questions in this section. We've got two questions in each of the three sections. That's six in total. Are you with me?
I'm struggling to keep up, but yeah, I'll go with it.
You go first, then Arthur Mullard can go next.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Deal.
So you're now playing as you. You ready on the buzzer?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to read out a famous quote quiz. And you're going to try and guess what the quote actually was.
Right.
And if you're very clever, who said it.
Right, okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Question number one.
Right, question
the first, one. First question. History and lit. shall I carry on?
Carry on. I'm on the buzzer. I'm poised. I'm ready.
Right. "When you eliminated the impossible ones, what leftovers, in any way improbable, must really be?" James.
Is that a very young Karl Marx?
No.
Okay.
You're on the wrong track there.
I'm on the wrong track.
I give it to you again.
Okay, right, I'm ready.
Bend over.
Right.
"When you eliminated the impossible ones, what leftovers, in any way improbable, must really be?" James.
Could it be Lord Byron? Because it had that poetic twist to it, I felt.
No.
Am I at the ballpark?
You are at the ballpark. Oh, another thing I forgot to tell you is that you get bonus points for... You could still get a bonus point at this point by identifying any of the languages that have been used in the translation process.
Excellent.
In the upgrading process.
Well, I'd like to have a go at that now.
Would you like to?
I think there's a bit of French in there and a little bit of Portuguese I detected.
I'm going to give you a bonus point for Portuguese.
Excellent.
I'm quite impressed.
Excellent. Thank you.
The correct answer, everybody's gagging to learn, I'm sure. The question was: "When you eliminated the impossible ones, what leftovers, in any way improbable, must really be?"
Yes.
The correct answer is, of course, "When you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth." Arthur Conan Doyle, Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, right, I see.
Famous quote.
I see.
Have you ever read a book?
I did read one once, but I didn't get on with it, to be honest.
Okay.
It was an AA one. It was a big drawing of the country.
That's a map.
Oh, yeah.
It is technically a book, I suppose. Okay, so no main points on that round, but you have got a bonus point.
I've got a bonus. That's excellent. I'm really, really quite pleased about that.
You are off the mark with one. Brilliant. Okay. Shall we have the other hist and lit question?
Go on, let's
Arthur.
Do that.
Okay, test your brother, Arthur.
Now, just test your brother, did you say?
Test your buzzer.
Okay, I was just testing there. See what I did there. Turn it round. Oh, buzzer's not working.
Go on, test it.
That's the impression of him as well. Right, Arthur.
Do you mind? I'm in character.
Oh, okay. Well, do your best.
Hello, David.
No, don't do that anymore.
All right.
Okay. The other question. History and literature. Arthur Mallard. Yes, good. Are you ready?
I've got chills, you know. I've got chills.
Yes. Be quiet now. We go to war in the beach. We in land on the earth to go to war. We go to war in the domain and in the street. We go to war in the hill. We will not transfer.
I reckon that's it's a historical one. I reckon it's that Lord de Montfort at the Battle of Carlisle, 1846, as translated from Guernsey French into Welsh into English.
No. Absolutely, completely wrong. Lord de Montfort in the Battle of what? No, it's too late now. You've already had a
what? What do you mean too late? It's definitely the right answer.
There's no point
is it,
using
it. Is it biblical?
No, it's not biblical.
Is it warical? Is it wars?
Just listen.
It's wars.
It's about wars, yes. We go to war in the beach. We in land on the earth to go to war. We go to war in the domain. And in the street, we go to war in the hill. We will not transfer.
Oh, get off. Have another go.
Press your buzzer then.
I'm not getting on with it.
It's a proper quiz, this, you know. I'm sorry. You've been timed out there. You've been timed out, Arthur Mallard.
I demand a go.
Go on then.
I reckon then. You mentioned a hill there.
Yeah.
A hill. I'm thinking Blueberry Hill, Fats Domino.
You are demented. The correct answer is, of course, we shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills, we shall never surrender. Which was Winston Churchill.
Hitler.
During the war.
Hitler!
No. He was our version. Winston Churchill via Russian and Chinese. And I very much like the translation of we shall never surrender to we will not transfer. That did amuse me.
I quite like that. I was listening there and I liked it a lot.
Quite good. Okay, let's move on. Yeah. We are going to be here for about 14 hours.
Yeah, excellent.
Which category do you want next? Pop music or sport? Can I advise you to go for pop music?
I think now that you give me that advice, I think I'll go for pop music.
Good idea. Well done.
Thanks, there.
Okay, which question do you want? We'll let you, because you're winning and Arthur is assistant winner.
Yeah.
You can choose either you can choose question A or question B.
I think I'll go for question B.
Question B. That leaves a nice one for Arthur. Question B. Are you ready? So you've got to guess the song lyric and ideally the artist and bonus points for language or languages used in the upgrading.
I'm thinking about this all the time.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Newspaper like Sunday is a daily silence and a grey that are. It's pretty easy, isn't it? Give it to you, James.
I think this is one I know and love. It's a difficult one. I think it's quite difficult, but there's a Sunday reference in there, so I'm thinking Sunday's in the title.
Correct.
I'm thinking it's
might be,
could be. I'm thinking it's a modern hit by. Is it Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2?
It isn't. That's very close, but completely wrong.
It must be, then, Every Day's Like Sunday by Morrissey.
What's the full lyric? Newspaper like Sunday is a daily silence and a grey that are.
I think that's the original song, isn't it?
No, it's been upgraded.
Has it been upgraded? I think that... do you know, I really can't remember how it goes, but I think that I've detected some of the language in it. I think we've got Flemish in there. I think we've got a little bit of Japanese, and I think also we've got some
tuk-tuk mangzak. Oh, I see. No, we don't have any of that.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 2 points there. That's pretty good.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
You correctly identified the song, even though you're supposed to get the lyric. Every day is like Sunday, every day is silence and grey, of course.
Yes, of course.
Via Japanese, bonus point.
The great Graham Morrissey, of course.
And Spanish, were the two languages.
Oh, of course.
So every day is like Sunday, every day is silent and grey, simply becomes newspaper like Sunday is a daily silence and a grey that are.
I like that. There's a lot to that, isn't there?
Yeah, it's
there's
interesting.
A lot there.
Interesting.
A lot there.
Interesting indeed. Okay, well done, James.
Thanks.
2 points there, that makes 3 in total.
And the prizes?
No prizes.
What? What do you mean no prizes?
Well, alright, you can have this signed cork coaster. Signed by who? You?
But me and Arthur Mullard.
Oh, it's worth it, of course.
In a drawn heart.
Beautiful.
Okay. So you've got 3 points there, 3 English points. Very well done.
Excellent stuff.
We're going to go over to Arthur for the other pop music question.
Alright!
Do you want to test your brother again, Arthur?
I can't use the bloody modern things. They're rubbish. I still can't do it.
You know when...
Oh, there you go.
You know when Dick Van Dyke cut your hair with his bicycle barber device in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Yeah.
Do you think he actually...
Classic scene! Do you Classic! Think,
do you, yes, indeed. Any scene that features brutal violence has got to be amusing. Do you think that in the shears that he used to cut your hair, that might have accidentally penetrated your ear and severed your brain?
I've had... You shouldn't really pick on me. I've had frontal lobe problems since the age of birth.
Very good. Okay, are you ready, Arthur, for your pop music?
I'm ready. Go on. Go on.
Okay. So, here we go. Well. No. Go on. Are you going to guess it from well?
It's,
I'll give you 10 points if you do.
Unchain My Melodies by the Righteous Sisters.
No. That's rubbish. But you're going to get the rest of it anyway.
Right.
Well,
I'm ready.
You ready?
Yep.
Well, his for I money, 2 for the report, 3 they are ready. Go now, cat, they go. But burned you tape in the blue shoes of my Sweden.
Oh, I think I recognise that one. I think it was a hit when I was a lad. I think it's Cliff Richard, Living Doll.
No, do it properly. It's bloody obvious now.
Elvis.
It is Elvis.
And Coal Shovel Blues.
It's Elvis and the Blue Shoes of My Sweden.
Oh, of course, yeah, love it.
It is, of course, Blue Suede Shoes. Well, it's 1 for the money, 2 for the show, 3 to get ready. Now go, cat, go. But don't you step on my blue suede shoes by Elvis Presley and Carl Perkins, 1955. And for bonus points, the language or languages used in the translation?
I'm gonna get it right this time. I think Cornish, Welsh, Black Mumpahafa, and Sino-Grec.
Do you know, you really have got issues. You really have got so many issues. I'm tempted to give you 0.5 point for Greek, even though you didn't say Greek. So no, I'm not going to.
It's Sino-Grec.
Well, that's nothing like it. It was French and Greek, and yes... Don't you step on my blue suede shoes, rather nicely became, but burned you tape in the blue shoes of my Sweden.
I love that, it's beautiful.
Can I have James back?
Where's
now,
my
please?
Prize?
No. Okay.
The blue shoes of my Sweden.
Yes, that's rather good, isn't it?
I think that's possibly a kind of good autobiographical title for you, maybe. The blue shoes of my Sweden.
Mm.
No, maybe not.
I think not.
Okay,
let's move on to the last round.
Right, I'm ready for this one.
Long last, round 3, sport. Now,
a little bit of a weakness for me, I have to say.
You're not dead sporty, are you?
Because although on a regular basis, 5 o'clock every morning, I am out there doing a jog with a full military pack on. In fact, nothing else. Sport seems to pass me by.
I'm going to stop you there, because you're boring. Right, are you ready? Question A or question B?
I think I'll go for A.
I think you better. You've not been served well.
I went for B last time and it didn't serve me well.
But
so
you are still winning by 3 points to naught.
Against Arthur Mullard.
Get your buzzer ready then.
Who is, here in fact, a fictional bipolar disorder that I've developed.
Yeah. With depressing regularity.
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm poised.
Here is your top sporting question quote from Dave Dove. It asks the famous quotation of the Pigeon of David. Are you ready? Test your buzzer.
It's over here.
Get Arthur Mullard back. You're a bloody retard.
He's not available anymore, I think.
Good. Right. Okay. Does it work? Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah,
very good. Okay. Here's your quote. The wouldn't it says that I was the best responsible in the commerce, but I was in that main.
Yes. Is it Sally Gunnell?
No. You're not going to get it.
Is it... I'll have another guess. I'm quite good at sport, really. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Is it...
I'm going to give you a clue.
Fabio Capello.
Very close.
Capogo.
Same line of business. Okay. Exactly the same line of business.
Okay.
From a mercurial English manager. Somewhat of the past.
It must be... Is it the one with the blue Swedish shoes?
No.
Is he a Swede?
Not to my knowledge. No.
Is it Kenneth... Eric Baum.
It's not Sven Goran Eriksson.
Right. I'm lost now.
Okay, you're not going to get it. The wouldn't it says that I was the best responsible in the commerce, but I was in that main. Should read as, if you're a little more careful, I wouldn't say I was the best manager in the business, but I was in the top one. Which is a famous quote by Brian Clough.
Ah, Cloughy, as he's known. The Cloughster.
Nobody ever called him that. He'd be most offended. Okay. To you, he would be Mr. Clough.
I have had a meeting in the blind... Can I say it? In the Brian Clough room.
In the Brian Clough room?
The Brian Clough room.
Have you? In Nottingham Forest football ground?
No, it's actually... It's in Nottingham, but it's not at the football ground.
Mm. For a bonus point, the language that was used? Or languages?
Swahili, perhaps?
No.
A bit of Walloon?
It might have been Walloon, but given he didn't use the buzzer, I wouldn't give you that anyway. Oh. It was, in fact, Italian.
A bit of Italian?
Yeah.
Excellent.
And moving on to the final question.
Excellent. I love these Christmas time quizzes, don't you?
They're brilliant, aren't they?
They are great. They bring families together.
This is the best quiz ever.
You're right, it is.
That's what you meant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Final quote from a famous sports person. Mm-hmm. I am tallest.
Yeah. It's a guy who got arrested recently for tying someone up in a hotel room in a jam jar. OJ.
Michael Hutchins.
OJ Thompson.
No, I don't know who. What?
OJ Thompson, that you know, who murdered his housekeeper and kept her in the car.
Get Arthur Mullard back. No, I scratched that. I am the tallest. Any ideas? It wasn't OJ.
Kevin
Thompson.
Keegan.
He's about 5'1".
Is he? Oh, okay. Well, but he looks bigger on the stickers.
The quote wasn't, I am tallest. This is what it's been translated
into. Oh, I'm getting you now. I've forgotten this quiz already. I've forgotten the rules.
And you're winning.
Yeah, I know.
What a sad indictment.
It's
quite embarrassing. The integrity of this quiz has gone right into this bin. I might even refuse to finish it.
Is it that basketball player, Shaquille O'Neal?
Shaquille O'Neal?
No.
No. Because it's not.
I've got to be saying what. I've got to guess what he says, haven't I?
It might not be being, but I am tallest.
I am quite high.
No. Well, okay. Think about... Okay. Have a guess at some languages. There are two. I'll give it clear. There's two.
Hebrew and...
No.
French.
French is correct.
Excellent.
You get a point for French. They've got 4 points overall. Via Dutch and French, the quote was actually, I am the greatest.
I am the greatest?
Yes. Famous sportsman. The sportsman of the century.
Is it Madonna, the footballer?
No, it's Muhammad Ali. Stupid boy.
Yeah, of course. The rower.
I am the greatest. Yes, the famous rower, Muhammad Ali. Okay, he's tallest. That is technically the end of the quiz.
Technically? Why did you say technically?
Because you have won. You've won an out. You've got 4 points.
What about the Alba stereo system you promised?
The Seisho radio cassette player.
Yeah, with dual auto reverse function.
That's so smart. The one that requires 16 AA batteries to play for an hour.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, Take it down to the beach.
I'm keeping that.
Okay, I see how this is going now. Okay.
It's my quiz, I'm having it.
Okay, wait till you get to my quiz.
Simple as that. You bring on your quiz.
I will. Wait till you get to my quiz.
The reason why you haven't technically won yet is because whilst you've got 4 points, there is a bonus. There's a big bonus question on offer for you. Oh, buzz in.
Blimey.
You or Arthur.
Cor blimey Charlie is
and
all
just,
I can say.
We just don't know at this minute who's going to buzz in first. Is it going to be you? Is it going to be Arthur? On the buzzer. We just don't know. Here's the big bonus. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start reading it, and the first person to buzz in and give me the correct answer is going to win 5 English points, which would mean, if it's Arthur, and let's hope to
God... I don't get it!
Right, no, Arthur's now disqualified. Anybody from you can buzz in and see if you can get the big bonus question right. I'm going to start reading it. You can buzz in at any time.
Right, I'm ready.
And I'm going to make it really easy for you.
5 English points.
I'm get 5 English points on offer. I'm going to make it really easy. I'm going to tell you the languages that we use in the translation in advance.
Right.
Okay, this has gone via English, into Korean, then into Russian, and then back into English.
Excellent.
Easy as that. Yes. Easy as that. So just think, you know...
Should be fairly straightforward, I reckon.
Indeed, you could reverse engineer this quote... back into Russian, back into Korean, back into English, and you've got it. Are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready.
On the buzzer.
I'm on the buzzer.
5 English points.
I'm ready on the buzzer. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm going to start now.
Okay, go.
This is meat in the order, or question. Will sling and the pointer of success, which is furious, anxiety, and does resist handle about the ocean, does have and is... Yes, James.
Is it... I'm guessing it's a Shakespearean piece.
Might be.
Is it Elizabeth Macbeth from Hamlet?
What do you think? Give me the first few lines.
Is it nobler to suffer the swings and roundabouts of outrageous pretension?
I'm going to give you that. It's completely wrong, but I'm just so desperate to end this wretched item.
Yes.
It is, of course, the famous soliloquy from Hamlet, which is part of Macbeth, I believe, as you so correctly said.
That's correct. Or, as it's known in the theatre, the Danish play.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind, tum-ti-tum. Of course, it should read, this is meat in the order, or question. Will sling and the pointer of success, which is furious, anxiety, and does resist handle about the ocean, does have and is where from the reason it will listen to an and ends things.
Do you know what? Now that you've read it in that style...
Now I've done it that way.
It absolutely makes sense.
I think they're all going to be doing it that way from now on.
I'm disappointed that I didn't get the bonus point of the 5 English points available, but I'm enlightened by your reading.
I think you did get them.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, because you give them to me extra.
Can we... Judges, are we going to award the extra 5 English points? No,
no,
we're not. On a technicality, personal hygiene.
Thanks for that.
Thank you very much, James, for the inaugural...
David, as always, stab. A pleasure, never a chore.
That was Dave Dove's famous quotes quiz, or the title in English via Japanese is It Asks the Famous Quotation of the Pigeon of David. Join us next time.
Thursday morning waking, lots of people crying, and I thought I saw angels there, flying through in the channel air. They whispered, don't you worry, someone's petty hate and crime. Good is here and everywhere. God is always on our side. I saw my wife's eyes filled with tears that I believe shall bring us. Just ain't the same. I told her these are not your sins, that's someone else's petty crimes. Good is here and everywhere. God is always on your side.
That was Thursday Morning Waking by a band called After the Ice.
Hello.
Hello. I'm Bob Rowe, and here's my brother Bobbert.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Craft Hour. It really is a very special programme today, isn't it, Bobbert?
Oh, yes, it is.
And do you know why?
Is it because of the pine cone you've got in your knickers?
It is a pine cone, I promise you. And it seems to have leaked some sap. But no, that's not the special reason. The special reason is we've got a very special guest.
Who's our guest? Is it that man from social services again?
No, it's a top poet who writes poems and things.
Oh,
and his name is Oliver Diamond.
How lovely.
He's very nice.
Does he want to taste your yark cheese?
I think he might, but we'll deal with that later. He came into our Scunthorpe studio earlier last week and recorded with his friend Brian this lovely poem called The Short Boy.
In fact, Brian was moved to tears many times during the recital.
No, he's moved to Cleethorpes.
The short boy stood on the salty, listening to the sea, but shortly, heading for the den. The sun ricocheted off the bowling green, and Beachcomber, the cafe, was seen. He entered, graceful, like a Dawlish swan. The blazing neon of the pier drew him from there to here, for whiz-bang games and an ice cream cone. He looked out over the seawater and saw the point, and Sheldon saw he which 'twas a joint, encircled by seekers of the sun. Now, long gone like the whale's long bones, similar, indeed, to Gay's Creamery and other ones, the ebbing autumnal tide retires, done. Once short boy, now a quite tall man, return to sweet Tynmouth sands, but where went the purple penny, and when?
What do you mean, no? You're supposed to be ready.
Have you switched it on this
time? I have switched it on this time. It went a bit wrong. Thank you. Anyway, now, it's a special show, this one.
Is it?
Apparently so. Because it's this time of year, isn't it? You know,
it's lovely.
It's lovely this time of year. Particularly nice. I always find December's always quite nice before January.
Is that the best time to have December?
It usually is.
That's fortunate.
Anyway, I'm going back to the script now.
Right. Oh, the one...
Yeah, we beautifully agreed it earlier.
The one that you've written down and everything.
Yeah, I've got it all written down here. Now, are you aware of the Yugo car?
The Yugo automotive vehicle.
The Yugo, as it's known.
No.
Well, apparently they're not making it anymore.
I am aware of it.
There's a factory somewhere in the former Yugoslavia.
Is it Minsk?
I think it's somewhere like... I don't know, actually. Somewhere like Belgrade or somewhere.
Okay. No, that sounds nice.
And Fiat have bought out this factory.
Ah.
And they've decided that they're going to make cars there.
But call them lawnmowers.
But, well, no, they're going to actually do something radical. And they're going to introduce a kind of robotic process.
They're going to make them good.
To the automotive, sort of construction that goes on there.
They're going to automate construction of cars.
Yeah,
because... Wasn't that done most places in the 1960s?
It was, but unbelievably, all of the Yugos are handmade. Hand-built.
I actually do believe that.
It's true.
I do believe it.
And there's a famous story, apparently, about a Yugo...
Not that famous.
That was built in the 70s, and it had a note in the inside of the door.
Mm.
And, you know, something you buy your brand new Yugo, you're out, I don't know, sort of...
£20.
£20, £25, yeah, if you go for the cabriolet, maybe 30, you know. And you're out somewhere in a beautiful countryside, and...
No, in Yugoslavia still, is this?
Yeah, possibly.
Okay, you're stretching the...
Yeah, I'm used... You know, it's an analogy, isn't it?
Okay.
Anyway, so you're out somewhere, and basically you can't get the door open. And the reason you can't get the door open is someone hasn't manufactured it properly, right? Yeah.
Mm.
So anyway, there's this story about this couple, and they dismantle the door because it's not working properly. And they find a note in there, and it says, "We haven't put this door together properly because it's a protest that we don't get paid enough to make the cars." Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it's a fabled fable.
Were they in the car?
They were in the car.
And they couldn't get out through the
door.
And
they couldn't get... So they got in, shut the door and went off for a drive in their, you know, smart new Yugo.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know...
Couldn't get out.
No, so they probably had to get out through the window.
Do you think?
Which is probably made of cellophane or something.
Yeah.
You know, in
foil.
So it's, I suppose it's a sad thing in some ways because it's one of those kind of icons that is, it's a bit kitsch, but people cherish them, like the Beetle or the Trabant. Remember the Trabant, the kind of Eastern European thing?
It's a good job that it wasn't anything more serious than the door. I mean, what if they said, dear recently deceased customer, you may have noticed there aren't any brakes in your vehicle because in a protest we decided not to make them out of ceramic discs, but out of wool. It would have saved money, but less effective at bringing the car to a safe stop.
I think, I suppose we can't really mourn the loss of the Yugo, can we now?
I don't think so.
No.
I think it's a hateful thing. So, what, the Trabant?
Do you remember that one? No. It was a kind of Eastern European kind of 50s car, 50s, 60s.
Based on the Allegro.
No, it looked a lot like a Ford...
Ford...
Popular, I think they were called.
Ford Poplar.
Which, you know, Roland Ratt used to have a pink car.
Ford Crapass.
It was a kind of, yeah, it looked a little bit like that, but a bit smaller.
Why would I know? Why would I know what Roland Ratt's car
was? Well, you were a fan of his.
Yeah.
But in fact, that T-shirt you're wearing now has got Errol the Hamster on it.
But I wasn't a fan of his cars. You know, there's a big difference.
Okay. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. That's a fair point.
Go on, move on.
Move on. So, anyway, I was thinking the other day about blogging, right? Because blogging's a... quite a big phenomena at the moment, isn't it?
This is where you write down tedium about your life in the vain hope someone else is interested.
It's like a...
Because let me tell you now, they're not.
The way to look at blogging is this, exactly. It's a digital diary, right, that you can keep.
Yeah.
But what you have to leave out of it, it's really important, right? What you have to leave out of it is all the interesting stuff and the sex.
Ah.
Right, so it's basically a way to kill time on your computer at work when you haven't actually... got that much to do because you can't be bothered to generate any other work.
Okay. You're really selling these to me now.
Yeah, so, but anyway, I'm conscious that it's really taken off as a thing.
Has it?
And I was wondering if you've ever blogged or been blogged about. Or,
certainly not. Most aspects of my life should not be written down, ever.
What, not ever?
No.
What about when we discussed your autobiography?
Well,
how are you going to get around that?
Seriously, having second thoughts about that, other than if it's produced posthumously.
Okay.
I might be able to. Well, I have to wait for my mother to die to start with.
I'm a little concerned by what you've just told me because, as you know, I am writing a musical based on your life called The Boy David.
I'm questioning the wisdom of that now.
Mm-hmm. I think we might have to kind of part that idea.
Whilst many aspects of my life would convert very nicely to catchy tunes, what I do wonder is, are they really going to be suitable for mass consumption?
What is most unfortunate, really, is that I have got Patrick Duffy and Paul O'Grady signed up to star in it.
Okay.
And I think they might
be... Is Paul O'Grady playing you?
They might be slightly disappointed. He is playing parts of me, yeah.
You've got the wrong Patrick, anyway. I wanted Patrick Moore to play me.
A very young Patrick Moore with a xylophone?
No, now.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
The kind of Games Master to the Crypt
you know,
era.
In Games Master, where they cut the top of his head off and put like a metal dish on the top of his head.
Yeah, or, no, wasn't it a Commodore Amiga or something? They stuck to his face or something like that.
No, I think...
And they made him look like Terminator, didn't they?
That's some kind of odd dream you're having, I think.
Yeah.
I want Patrick Moore in his current state to play me with the xylophone strapped onto his wheelchair. I think that would be so... That not only would that be quite close to me, but
it'd be erotic.
It would be erotic. It'd be so uplifting for people to come and watch.
Physically and emotionally.
Patrick Moore... with a xylophone nailed to his knees. It, honestly, I'm cracking up just thinking about it.
Do you not think there's maybe a kind of a rights issue there? Sort of, you know, you're not infringing on his rights.
Who's
nailing a xylophone to his legs?
No. I think in the name of art, that is perfectly acceptable.
I think you've got several good points there, very well made.
Now, get me that bag of nails.
That good. Right, here we go. I'm going to start.
Right, this is serious now.
Deadly serious, so, yeah.
Get dressed.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. My name is Basil Poutard, and you'll join me on Clocks of the Century, a review programme of the chronograph of modern times. With me, I'm glad to say, today in the studio is Hentley Farsenhardl, and
hello.
Also, good day to you, and, welcome, Le Doudou.
11:33.
Thank you. Now, gentlemen, clocks.
Yes.
Yes. Are they necessary in the modern world?
Yes.
12:15.
Hentley?
Quite.
Quite.
Quite good.
if we changed our concept of time, would we need clocks as we know them?
Well, as you know, I have developed an alternative method of chronological measurement.
Oh, really?
Involving 13 minutes to the hour.
That is interesting.
And 96 hours to the day, but only one day a week, which would all have to work.
That would that work?
Yes. It's called Muntu Wen Seven Day.
Right, we can carry on after that, but we'll cut that bit out. No, we'll keep the Muntu Wen Seven Day.
Now, welcome. I believe your wife is something of a stickler for timing.
Yes. Don't set me up like that.
She's something of a stickler.
Go on, Al, you can get around that.
Disgusting.
I believe your wife...
She's a vicious brute of a woman.
Now, welcome. I believe that your wife is a bit of a stickler for timing.
She certainly is. She likes to go fishing every half an hour.
For how long?
35 minutes.
You loony.
Ah, yes, see, that's been interesting. My wife, Martin, she actually is a clock. I married a large clock.
Is she a grandfather?
Is she a grandfather?
No, she's a grandmother clock. And I've had her mounted.
Occasionally. Well, thank you both, gentlemen, for the discussion there. And next week, we'll be discussing digital watches and their place in IVF treatments. I've been Basil Poutard. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining me.
11:33.
Good afternoon. And good Tune Wednesday.
Happy Man Tune Wednesday.
You fucking loony.
Well, his for a money. Two for the report. Three, they are ready. Go now, cat, they go. But burned you, tape in the blue shoes of my Sweden. Tape in the blue shoes of my Sweden.
This is an interesting song entitled A 2-Hour Love Affair by Cheeky Thief.
Voices and places and people and mazes, a 2-hour love affair. Problems and dangers and countries and rages, and you standing just right there. Captions and ructions and constant interruptions, but where do we go from here? Music and lasers were all the two phases, but we made them disappear. The way you could surprise me filled my empty space, and I remember what you said, but when I close my eyes I can't see your face. Knowing and loving aren't always the same thing, and throughout all of the fun I knew amusing, but somehow I didn't care. The way you could surprise me filled my empty space, and I remember what you said, when I close my eyes, I can't see your face. So I don't remember what you look like when you smile. Do you see my eyes when you close your eyes? Is there something that I should be doing now?
Good afternoon, I am Raymond Lefarque, and welcome to The Kettle Conundrum, a radio show dedicated to kettles and kettle lovers. Yes, those people that love boiling water in a range of electrical appliances that they've collected over the years. I'm very, 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 very lucky today to be with a kettle enthusiast, and would you like to introduce yourself?
Indeed, my name is Norman Teakettle.
Norman Teakettle, I'm guessing that's not your real name.
No, that's right. My real name is Simon. But no, actually, my name is Simon Norman Teakettle.
Interesting.
It was once Simon Smith, but I decided, because of my main interest in life, to change my name to Teakettle. Therefore, killing two birds with one stone, because I've always thought that I could do with a bit more class.
It's a beautiful dedication to your hobby.
I adopted a double-barreled name, and of course, you know, the only names that I could think that were appropriate for me were T.N. Kettle.
It's a lovely gesture. Now, listeners who've just tuned in might be wondering what it is about the kettle that makes it interesting and also highly collectible.
Well, there's a number of marvellous properties that attach to your typical kettle. Particularly, I mean, look, if you take this swan piece I've got here.
It is a lovely looking
this
kettle.
This is a white swan 1 litre boiler.
Perspex?
It's a form of plastic,
right.
called plastic.
Ooh.
This is a 1993 swan kettle. You'll note the white coupling flex there.
Yes, very nice. I can see also the slightly gilded mount.
Very efficient model, this one. It is cordless, of course. One of the 13 cordless kettles of 1993 that most enthusiasts will acknowledge.
And where did you procure it? Is it a family heirloom?
There's a very interesting story attached to the procurement of this kettle.
Actually. Oh, excellent.
My wife asked me to leave the house for a period of some weeks due to her lack of enthusiasm for my my passion in kettles. And, of course, I went straight out to Argos and I bought this Swan PL693X.
It is a beautiful piece. Norman, take us back now to one of your older pieces that you have in the box with you that you
indeed
bought. And I should mention to listeners that your website, where you catalogue all of your kettles, www.icanbelievetheseakettles.org.gov.uk, Mother.
That's right. Most of my the first 2,319 kettles are on the archive, and more being added every day. This one in particular,
it looks very old.
This is a brass Morphy Richards.
Ooh.
From 1903. This particular model was known to have been, interestingly, located in a house in London, very near to where Queen Victoria lived while she was alive.
That is quite interesting. Mm. And also, it looks quite rare. It looks like there's also a damage mark on the back of the kettle.
Yeah, no, the previous owner must have done that or something. But this is a particularly rare kettle because this one was actually used to boil water for making tea.
Now, that is very interesting. In fact, an application that not many people consider a kettle could be used for.
Well, indeed. I mean, many people think kettles are toys. They're not toys, I should stress that. They're not toys, they're not hats, they are not storage units, other than should you want to store water, which you are desirous of heating. For that purpose, they are ideal.
Now, just before we go, because obviously we've got limited
time...
Well,
I've got the other 2,913...
Well, I'm afraid
outside.
We don't, I'm afraid, have time
I believe
to look
I was
those.
Told that I would we, be able don't to discuss but we each do, of my kettles.
We have a controversial question that we like to ask our guests every week when we discuss things on the Kettle Conundrum. The travel coil, is it a kettle?
No, it's a common mistake, actually. The travel coil... It's not a kettle. It is a water heating device, but it's not a kettle by any means. They're far less collectible.
That is interesting. So you wouldn't consider branching out into travel coils?
I wouldn't shit on one.
Well,
to be honest, to be frank.
Well, thank you, Norman, for your time.
Because that's not what they're designed for. They're designed to be inserted into a cup of
lukewarm I'm afraid we must
tea,
go
for
now.
Example, and thus heat the tea, but not as efficient as it can be done in the kettle.
I don't want to be rude, Norman, but fuck off my programme.
Right now, as you're aware, it's Yuletide, isn't it?
It's Wintervale.
It is Wintervale. I'm glad that you've used that term.
Are
because
you?
there is a Winterlude, Wintervale thing going on. And we're very lucky to have on this show the brand new single from Geoffrey Ponson.
And The Cleft.
And The Cleft.
I can't believe it.
Who, as you know, The Cleft are basically his sort of ensemble.
Yeah.
Including Danto Slacks on the Bosnian guitar.
Mm.
And we're very lucky to have a very sneak... well, in fact, we've got the whole version. We've got the whole...
The full radio edit.
We've got the full thing. But we've got a preview of it, I suppose. Kind of, we're premiering it here.
What is this it you keep talking of?
And
before you answer that, let me carry on. What's missing from my life, James, is some music, maybe about 5 minutes long, which reflects modern religion, modern values... it talks about the spirit of Christmas, it's got accurate history in it, and it's a bit unusual. It's not one of these overproduced, sort of studio-y type seasonal bits of music. Something that's really honest and original and interesting, and above all, beautiful. That's what's missing from my life. What can you do for me?
Well, in a completely non-secular way, I've answered all your prayers, because we're very proud now to play the brand new single by Geoffrey Ponson and The Cleft called Winterlude. Winter Valerie.
Let's have it.
Picture a perfect winter scene. Merry young children supping mulled whiskey and parsley. Papa Noel is in the gin shop, emptying his bag of Christmas eggs into the sink. It's Winterlude, it's Winter Valerie, oh yeah. Lovely baby Jesus, with his beard so bushy. He died on Hot Tuesday, he liked his peas quite mushy. Now we do our Xmas dance. Wear our mother's blouses. In Christmas town we drink gin down and then cuckold all our spouses. Oh, and the lovely Virgin Moira, married to her brother in God. A lovely big god who rides a smart bike and never gets stung by bees. Join us, lovely children, in our Winterfell celebration. Eat your Xmas buns and avoid eternal damnation. Drink your merry festive gin and kneel for the baby Jesus. Stuff your stupid fat old face with lots of regional cheeses. Tramps go happy in their boxes. Shooting nails of foxes. Businessmen sick up in doorways. Jesus. Jesus' love is with us always. Oh, and the Xmas egg is full of promises for all the winter-looting novices.
It's about celebration in the nation, not stagflation. Connect your respect to the Jesus Love Foundation. You know his name, don't play the blame game or you'll go insanier, so get brainier. Is it cosmic? Is he organic? Hit the crimbo beats like a well-schooled mechanic. Bring your spanner, I've got a hammer. God's on his bike, he ain't got a sister stammer. Get it, my brother, my lover, undercover. All the other, discover, faith.
Join us, lovely children, in our Winterfell celebration. Eat your Xmas buns and avoid eternal damnation. Daddy's singing in the lane, Mommy's crying in the rain. Again, again, what a shame. Oh, it's Winterlude, Winter Valerie. Pork kebabs and sticky toffee, our traditional dish, served with rice and coffee and a bucket of fish. And the Xmas nutmeg and parsley, it dressed so very sparsely. Oh, and the lovely Virgin Moira, married to her brother of God. Lovely big God who rides a smart bike and never gets stung by bees. Join us, lovely children, in our Winterfell celebration. Eat your Xmas buns and avoid eternal damnation. Drink your merry festive gin and kneel for the baby Jesus. Stuff your stupid fat of face with lots of regional cheeses. Oh, it's Winterlude, oh, Winter Valerie. Oh, it's Winterlude, oh, Winter Valerie. Oh, Winter Valerie. And remember, lovely big God, on his smart bike, he never gets stung by bees.
Well, did that answer all your prayers?
Do you know, I must admit, my initial reaction to hearing that song is one of puzzlement.
Is it astonishment?
It was
wonder.
It was magnificent.
Indeed.
It was original. In fact, it was completely unique. I don't think I've ever heard a song quite like it.
It was also not recorded for charity.
Wasn't it?
No.
It was purely recorded for the personal gain of the artists involved.
Which could be a problem for them.
I admire that, though. I admire that optimism.
Hmm.
Is it going to be available on general release?
It is. I'm glad you've asked that. We're so enamoured with it that we'll be promoting it with the King of the Buttons brand.
On the Sandy record label?
It's going to be on the King of the Buttons label, yes.
Great.
It's going to be out there very soon.
I think it's going to be out there in the bargain dustbin fairly soon, isn't it? How much are you selling it for?
We're downloading it. We've got exclusive rights for that. 30 to 36 pence per track.
Right, per track. But there is only one track.
Yeah.
Do you get a bonus track?
No.
No, okay. It was awful.
Yeah.
To be honest, it was awful. Yeah. It was really, really awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just asking a bit.
Is Alan A or is Alan...
No,
is it B for Alan?
No, you're A. Yeah, it's B for Bongo. I'm just ad-libbing a little bit.
You bastard.
Dial B for Bongo. Bongo.
Bongo.
Bobo. Mr. Bongo. He's done it. He's got him. We've got him. Game over.
That'll be for Bongo.
Bongo.
He's tintering on the brink. And he's gone. He's done.
He's tintering. I love that. He's tintering on the brink of Bongo.
Is it a man?
Sweet Mary's slave.
Can you stop rocking on that?
Oh, sorry.
Just sit there quietly. Stop vibrating.
Helps me relax. That's just something I do. It's something I do. Something I do of an evening to
take
help me relax.
Chicken kebabs out.
Could I show you a technique I learned in Cuba?
No, you cannot.
It's very deep and invasive.
You have been listening to King of the Buttons, written and produced by James Salamite and David Powell, featuring Alan Jones.
All of the music that you've heard on this podcast is available from the Podsafe Audio Network. Check it out at podsafeaudio.com.
King of the Buttons.